To all of our listeners around the world, this is Paul Vallelie, your host of Stand Up America. We are very happy to have you with us today. Lots of news. We've got some exciting guests and co-host today, Jerry Mullen. Welcome, Jerry.
Paul, good
happy
to be here.
Happy to have you here. Have another great supporter of Stand Up America, Dennis Dotson, sitting in. Welcome, Dennis, again.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for being here. Well, Jerry, we don't really have to sit back for too long and create news, do we?
No, it's created for us every day, every minute of the day.
I mean, it's amazing. I'm just going to hit some highlights. But SeaTac Airport pulls its Christmas trees down because a rabbi wanted a menorah, and they said they can't, satisfy all the different religious sects, all the sectarians. And so they pull it because they don't have courage. They're politically correct, Jerry, and that's what they want to be. They don't have the courage to stand up for what Christmas is.
Yeah, courage is a lost factor in America anymore. You're right. You wanted an 8-foot menorah to go, I guess, with one of the 8-foot trees. And it's not that it's ridiculous. I understand the request. I understand the airport thinking this thing would be a giant 8-foot
Just stand up, Jerry.
Some other religious, right? But it's just the idea that nobody has the courage to stand up and say, "No, we're not doing it." This is the way we did it last year, the year before, and 20 years before that.
Guess what? Delta Airlines brought in their own small Christmas trees and put them on the counter this morning.
Did they really?
They did.
Oh, good. Congratulations to them.
Anyhow, President Bush visited the Defense Department this morning, as I understand, and then over to the State Department and gave some brief remarks with Vice President Cheney standing to his right and Condoleezza Rice standing to his left. Appeared to me he didn't say very much about any strategic change. Maybe he wasn't supposed to do that today. But
then what was the purpose of the comment?
Well, it seemed like a lot of empty rhetoric that I would say it is.
It's not surprising. Sorry.
So, and here we have the Iraqi study group. We're going to talk a little bit if we can fit in the time. Mark Stein evidently had a great article today in the Chicago Sun-Times, I think it was. So we'll talk a little bit about
the inane strategic.
Yeah, the inane something.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that. Not getting a great response around the world or even in the United States, except for the likes of Barbara Boxer, and the left really liked the Iraqi study group report. I still say they didn't have any strategic military guy on there, like General McInerney, for example, I think should have been on there. But we predicted, Jerry, Lebanon looks like it's about to fall, that democratic elected government. Hezbollah will take over. Syria will run it. With Iran, it'll be a theocracy spreading Islamic State to Lebanon. That's what we predicted. That's what's going to happen. But I also recommend we give them close air support and unconventional warfare, either the Israelis or the Israelis and us together.
Yeah, where's the rest of the world? Where's the United Nations? Where's the rest of these so-called countries that are supposed to be standing up for the betterment of the world, and they just don't do it?
Yeah. And the Christians are being flushed out of Lebanon. They're being assassinated. Even some of the Christians, I understand, leaders have joined Hezbollah. Figure that out.
Well, it's like, you want to recognize some of these people on the left today. It's easy to recognize they're the ones standing on street corners selling burkas.
Well, then we have your great friend and leader, one of the most magnificent leaders in the world, departing today, Kofi Annan from the United Nations.
Whatever you do, Paul, don't refer to him as my friend. I think he's done more damage to the United Nations.
Oh, yeah, he's just a great leader, isn't he? And you know why I say he's a great leader? He's a great leader of corruption, mismanagement.
He's been basically a figurehead at the United Nations. Look what they're doing now. They're going to refurbish his apartment in New York. $4.1 million to refurbish it.
That's for the United Nations leader.
This is for Kofi Annan. This is in his retirement.
Oh my goodness!
And the interesting part of that $2.1 million is for a heating and cooling system. That must be gilded in gold or something.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, it is truly unbelievable. I do not know the world I live in, nor understand it anymore. No. And I've been around 67 years, and you've been around a shade more.
Just a shade.
So, and Dennis has been around a shade about the same time, I guess. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, this is Stand Up America. Our call-in number is 866-884-8255. And we are on righttalk.com, www.righttalk.com. We will stream for 24 hours after this broadcast on Right Talk. And we are archived, also, all of our shows on OspreyRadio.us. We have our first guest this morning coming on, who we should have had on earlier, Lee Kessler. She's written a book called The White King and the doctor referring to Zawahiri, and it is both fiction and nonfiction. Lee was a 30-year veteran actress, and my old saying connects the dots, and she really does in this book. It's just a marvelous read. I have not completed all of it, but I went through it last evening and read much of it last night. So Lee will know that when we get her on here. But, you know, Al-Qaeda, Jerry, has a plan to really bring about an Islamic world over 15 years by the year 2020. And Lee connects the dots on a lot of this happenings in the Islamic world. So, Lee, I understand you're on. Welcome to Stand Up America.
Well, thank you, and good morning.
Well, good morning. We're broadcasting here from our bunkers deep inside the Rocky Mountains, Lee, so we wanted you to know that.
Right, as long as you don't ask me to tell my age, right?
Oh, no, I just gave it our co-host. We have Jerry Mullen here.
Hi, Lee, how are you this morning?
Hi, I'm just great, thank you.
Good.
Well, we were so happy we could finally get you on, and I got the book, and tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write this book.
Well, it started, of course, after 9/11. I think that woke everybody up in America that we needed to know who was coming for us and why. So I was looking for ways that I could help my country at that time. But what started the book's journey was as we ramped up to the election, coming into the presidential election of 2004, by 2003, instead of seeing an America that was more united, which is what I would have expected after 9/11, I was observing an America becoming progressively more divided and hostile. And to me, that indicated the signs of a fifth column to break the solidarity within. And that prompted me to really take a closer look at what could be operating inside our country that could be causing us to divide when our survival requires that we unite.
And well, so that's the best message.
I started doing an acting exercise on Zawahiri and came up with something.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's brilliant the way you've connected the dots. For our listeners, Lee, what do you mean by the fifth column?
That would be a force operating inside a country that whose purpose is either sabotage or to break the solidarity from within. What I was seeing was the latter, the solidarity from within. So it's a military term. I believe it comes out of the Spanish Revolution over there. You guys would know that better than me. But I had tracked something like that, and I could see that it had to be an internal force at work, and I wanted to find out who it was and how they were operating, and I decided to approach it by doing a character breakdown like I've done so many times as I played historical characters. And I started with Zawahiri because I had received a tip after 9/11, something that I read that the Israelis actually regarded him as the mastermind of Al-Qaeda and that
yes.
he was the most dangerous man on the planet from their view. So I said, let me start with him and see if I can figure out his driving motivation. And if I can, then I would be able to theorize what he will do next, and I would see manifestations. Then it all started to happen in real life, and I said, oh, no, now I have to write a book. And so I began what's a novel. It's a suspense novel because I think it's easier for Americans to look at the issue if it's in a fictionalized story, but it's through the point of view of Ayman al-Zawahiri.
I think that's it's for under today's what's going on around this world of ours. I think it's a very, very well put together book, and the story, the way it lays out, I think is going to hopefully wake a lot of people up.
Yeah,
the chess game part of it, you know, checkmate, the chess game that you tie into it is very, very correct. We are dealing with some very well-educated people, Lee, as you well know. And Zawahiri came out of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, basically. The Muslim Brotherhood was kicked out of Egypt in 1954 and set up base in Saudi Arabia. But who? What do you mean by the White King? And I guess that would relate to chess?
Yes, it's a chess term, and without giving away the actual final page of the book, Paul, because there's a surprise coming for you at the end of this, and that's where most people to read it go, oh, my, and that's where they wake up. It is a chess term, but the mystery of the book is who is the White King? It's clear
yes.
It's coming for the White King, but the question I want the reader to ask is who is this White King? And you don't really find out till the very last chapter.
Well, there's a quote in here. So Bush was the White Queen. What does that mean?
he would be the queen as a supporting player.
Yes.
The greatest freedom to move on the board, perhaps the greatest power on the board, but is not in actuality the White King. So you're right on the tip of who are they really after and why would they need to take down the White King in order to accomplish their global mission.
Well, you know, I have a theory on that, and Jerry and I have talked about it, along with Dennis Dotson, who is sitting in today, one of our great sponsors for Stand Up America. But I liken it to a book that I would love to write someday if I get the time. I'm working on one now on Guantanamo Bay, Torture, Abuse of the Truth. But it's Bleeding the Dragon, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Russia, China, Zawahiri, Al-Qaeda. How to bring, and you remember the old stories about the dragon, Lee. You know, one spear would not bring the dragon down, but many spears into the body of the dragon will bleed it to death.
Right.
And so I think that might tie in a little bit to what you're saying, you know, in the fifth column, even internally, people that are trying to bleed us to death on the left wing in the media and so on and so forth. It won't tell the American people what this Islamic mission is to take over the world, even though it's said nobody picks up on it and moves it forward much.
Yeah. Well, they're either ignorant or worse.
Well, Lee, I want to go back to something you talked about, the fifth column. You know, to have a fifth column, you've almost got to have someone else within the halls of government to support that. And in your book, have you at all implied, let's say, who that might be?
Yes, I have, and it will be a surprise to you, though, as to who. And I believe it's validated by actual background research into Zawahiri. I think people have looked at what his education, his background is, but they've missed something. And I've had a long history in human rights activism as well. So I was looking through maybe a different set of eyes. And I think you're totally right. There is actually an internal organization that would allow and support that type of activity and promote it. But I do definitely in the book allude to it. I do more than allude to it.
Well, you do, and just from what I've read, certainly. Do you have a website, Lee, for yourself in the book?
Yes, it's lulu.com/Lee Kessler. Lulu is L-U-L-U, and it also can be found, of course, at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com, but if you want to come to
my
website.
Okay, say the website again, Lee, just for our listeners.
lulu.com/Lee Kessler.
Okay.
And they can read the first three chapters there and read reviews and so on.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we highly recommend you read this book, White King and the Doctor, Zawahiri. Matter of fact, Lee, they made an announcement this morning. I don't know whether you saw it, Jerry or Dennis, but there is a planned nationhood in the western provinces of Pakistan, in the Peshawar, Al-Quetta area, where I know for a fact Bin Laden moved after Tora Bora and set up operations there. But it is another theocratic state, Lee, that's being set up in western Pakistan. We're not bombing it. The Pakistanis send up some soldiers once in a while, and they take out a few targets. But that place is growing rapidly. And that's where they're feeding, by the way, Taliban and supporting Taliban, which is coming back into Afghanistan now. And wow. Zawahiri's back of all of this.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the key mistakes we made was we underestimated the intelligence of these people and that they are extremely bright and very creative in their thinking. And that's part of what I wanted to address in the book, is if they're looking at things from a different viewpoint, it's almost like the play Rashomon, you know, the different story from different angles.
Sure.
But they're so bright. And unless we step up to that reality and get that they can move in multiple areas, you're addressing the military. As you know, my book goes beyond that into levels that are non-military. And he's playing them all simultaneously. That's a very bright guy.
Yes. Have you seen the movie Obsession, Lee?
No.
Well, if you can, go to Obsession, the movie, or no, the video. .com and get a copy of Obsession. Fox has run it four times, but it talks about the radical Islam and it's spread throughout Europe and the world and who's behind it. It's very worthwhile to see, and we're actually showing it in the community here so people have a better understanding of radical Islam. Well, Lee, listen, I want to thank you. We're going to be going to a break here and moving on, but thank you so much for joining us today, and we really appreciate it. Again, the book by Lee Kessler is The White King and the Doctor. Lee, and we hope to have you back on again.
Oh, that'd be great, and I appreciate it. It's been fun talking to you.
Okay.
Thanks, Lee, very much.
Well, you take care, and we'll be back in touch.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Jerry, that was there's a woman with great insight into this radical Islam, and even though it's a fiction, nonfiction book, she really ties together this whole chess match that's going on.
Well, what's interesting is if we stop and think about the individuals that have lined themselves up behind Al-Qaeda. Yes, they are, for the most part, brilliant individuals. The interesting thing is, though, they're not inhibited by any government. These are people who basically are striving forward towards an ideology with no inhibitions, funding, unlimited funds, and the ability to recruit people to become walking bombs.
That's right.
And I personally, I just can't think of a more dangerous mix.
And they're recruiting them in the United States. How about the young man, a Muslim convert that was picked up last week, wanted to bomb that shopping center?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that was actually a groupthink, or was it an individual playing out to...
I think it's a group thing from the standpoint this stuff emanates from the mosque and from the teaching of Wahhabism. So we do know, for example, in London, they had recruited in the mosque local people, homegrown terrorists, trained them, funded them to blow up things, blow up people, blow up train stations, you know, what have you. So even if you have... individuals that would liken to that and join it from the outside and say, well, I believe in all of this radical Islam, and I'm going to go blow up something. So from that standpoint, I think it works both ways, but it's still out there proliferating these societies and young Muslims to kill themselves for Allah. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with some more guests on Stand Up America. Again, our call-in number is 866-884-8255. We are on righttalk.com, and we'll be streaming there also after this live broadcast for the next 24 hours. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Is America a great social experiment or a lasting legacy? A new book by Ference A. Lednitsky, Think America, Think, challenges the people of this country to become more informed and involved in the decision-making process to define the direction of this country. The author reminds us that we do have a choice and exhorts Americans to express themselves. Our vote is our personal testament to the value of the individual in society and to the values of that society as a whole. One vote is our affirmation of the gift our founding fathers gave us. One vote is our personal choice in democracy, and it may well be that our one vote will safeguard our democracy in the years ahead. We, the people, are the ones who decide. Is our democracy destined to survive, or will it end up a footnote in history as a short-lived social experiment? Think, America, think. Thought-provoking and profound, the author guides readers into thinking about America as never before. Available in paperback at Amazon.com.
Hi, folks. This is Kent Emmons, and you've heard me talking about how much I enjoy spending time in Branson, Missouri. It's a place that's fun for people of all ages. My daughter Ashley and I love hanging out at the amusement parks and boating on Table Rock Lake. For Dad and me, it's hitting the world-class golf courses with all my crazy uncles. And for Mom and Grandma, Branson happens to be the number one outlet shopping destination in the United States. And of course, we can't forget those shows. Two memories I'll never forget, hearing Andy Williams sing Moon River and watching my grandma dressed up like a chicken on Jim Stafford's stage. Well, now for only $99, you can enjoy Branson too. For $99, you get 4 days and three nights in a first-class hotel, show tickets, dinner, and breakfast every morning of your stay. Here's the number to call and book Branson for $99. 1-866-338-6159. That's 1-866-338-6159. And I can't wait to see you right here in Branson.
If books and newspapers and the radio are efficiently controlled, the people will read and accept exactly what the few in control want them to.
Can you name a conservative journalist at CBS News?
Well, I don't know of anybody's political bias at CBS News.
How can you ask such a question?
I believed in the story. The facts of the story were correct.
You just said that you think the story is accurate.
Well, the story is accurate.
What must it be like to live in Rush Limbaugh's world? Edgy, controversial, brilliant. Hitler would have killed in talk radio. He was edgy, too.
For Casper, freedom starts with education. And if literacy alone was the yardstick, Cuba would rank as one of the freest nations on Earth.
You are stuck on stupid.
Right Talk Radio, the antidote for stupidity.
This is Paul Vallely, your host of Stand Up America, and we are out there going around the globe on righttalk.com. Our call-in number is 866-884-8255. We're sitting here today with co-host Jerry Mullen. Jerry, that was quite an interview with Lee Kessler.
Yeah, I'm anxious to finish your book.
And we'll give you more information on the White King and the Doctor. We're fortunate to have now on a very good friend, director of the Intelligence Summit, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, I guess, Dr. Robert Katz. Bob, welcome to Stand Up America.
Thank you, General.
We've got lots to talk about today. We covered at the top of the hour, you know, what's going on in Lebanon. We haven't discussed Israel yet today. Our good friend, that great leader, Kofi Annan, gave his departure talk today at the Truman Library, I think. Boy, we're going to miss him, Bob, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what, General. I guess there's a little bit of poetic justice. If a fine man like John Bolton has to leave the United Nations, then it's certainly good that a not such an effective man such as Kofi Annan is leaving as well.
Yeah, so, master leader of corruption and mismanagement.
Yeah, the difference is John Bolton is going to leave with a sense of honor.
Absolutely.
Kofi Annan, I think, is going to leave it with a cloak of dishonor about him and probably a very wealthy guy.
Well, the corruption, the graft inherent here, and I hope the lawyers are not listening, but the corruption inherent in the Kofi Annan regime, shall I say, has been almost mind-boggling. Someone like former Undersecretary of Defense Jed Babin can address that far more than I ever could. But really, if this is the United Nations and this is what we've been reduced to, we are in dire straits indeed.
In fact, Jed's going to be on our show, Bob, on Thursday this week, so we'll be looking forward to having him and discussing the United Nations. But Jerry and I have talked a lot about Israel. I was just over there last month with eight different people. We were up in the Golan Heights, up at Metula. We were in Haifa and had briefings and got updated. But I am so concerned about the weakness of the Israeli government right now, Bob, as I am our own.
Well, first off, General, as far as being on the Golan Heights, I'm glad you were able to go there because under the new ISG plan, Mr. Baker wishes to indeed give back the Golan Heights in order to, shall we say, bribe the Syrian government, which is a futile effort, if I may say. And as far as the Israeli government, if it can be called that, I think of, General, I've never been accused of not having a sense of humor, but Prime Minister Olmert, shall we say, is an emasculated Woody Allen without the clever one-liners.
Boy.
Very good. I like that, Bob. But I agree with you. I got sick to my stomach when I first heard that in the ISG was this particular portion talking about giving the Golan Heights back. I just cannot accept it nor believe that Baker would have the audacity to do such a thing.
Well, the ISG, if you gentlemen will forgive me, the ISG reminds me of MSG, that flavor additive used in a Chinese restaurant. If you ingest enough of it, it's going to be hazardous to your health. In this case, it's going to be hazardous to our national security to try to do business with Iran and Syria. They are the enemy and need to be put in their place and told in no uncertain terms that they have to be basically back off their terror-supporting activities and come join the family of nations. That is not going to happen with these regimes, Ahmadinejad and Hafez Assad's son there, Bashar. That's not going to happen with these regimes. And to think otherwise is the height of a lack of sense of reality and the height of naivete.
Well, you know something, Bob, just watching the news shows yesterday that I saw, what's interesting to me is we have the left in America who are wildly supporting the ISG. The right in America is basically condemning the ISG. And the question that I have is why are there so many people on the left who are supporting almost verbatim everything that's in the ISG, which in fact would include this little giveaway by Baker, meaning the Golan Heights. And why is it? Isn't the left in America awake, or are they allowing George Soros and his ilk to drag them into the toilet?
Well, the left is not in America is not only not awake, they are veritably in a coma. Under Sharia, it is one of these oxymorons and downright moronic that the left thinks that they will not be the first victims under Sharia. The left is very supportive of all kinds of issues across the board that were to have a creeping Islamization, if you will, then they would be, shall we say, the first to go. Now, it's always been of my opinion that the left has been very misguided and has gone off in the wrong directions. They spout all these highfalutin ideals with which they cannot document, and they have no record of success in so doing. In fact, they have enabled the enemy to work against the so-called high ideals that they profess to support. The left has gone wrong. What can I say? I do not presume to know what they are thinking, but they are going down the wrong road.
Well, this takes a certain amount of leadership on the left, and I think the people that need to be identified are those particular leaders that are, in essence, leading the Democrats down that path.
Well, one of the reasons we founded the Intelligence Summit was to try to come up with a bipartisan type of effort. Our only interest is to support national security and the best in America. And we have invited left-leaning liberal Democrats, what have you, to join us in this effort. Allow me to say that their response has been, to put it mildly, lukewarm. They have not really stepped up to the plate, not risen to the challenge to try to join this effort at intelligence reform. They haven't really seemed interested in the past. Perhaps they will be so in the future after their somewhat stirring election results, but still in my context, I am not overly optimistic of them joining a bipartisan effort to really safeguard America's national security.
No, I'm going to have to get hit between the eyes. Bob, by the way, we're waiting for John Loftus to come on.
Okay.
Can you say a few words about the Intelligence Summit, when it is, what it's all about, how do people get information on it, how can they attend?
Sure. It is open to all. It's open source, so we invite all who are interested in the effort to safeguard America's security. It's highly informative. It is taking place March 5th, 6th, and 7th in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the Hilton Bayfront. You can go to our website at www.intelligencesummit.org. Click on the program 2007, and you'll see that we have quite an action-packed program involved. All the information you could ever want is right on site there at intelligencesummit.org. It's basically, as I alluded to, a bipartisan effort. But what I like about it is it's a volunteer effort. It has been put together by American citizens who volunteered their time, energies, and finances, quite frankly, to put this together because we felt that intelligence reform and America's national security was just not being safeguarded appropriately. So it was sort of a grassroots effort to try to get people together and make a change. I think of it as a can-do American spirit.
Well, that is intelligencesummit.org, and I would recommend anybody that can attend do it. It's not expensive.
Nope.
I think the prices are on the website, what it costs, the hotels, everything has been set up well ahead of time.
The first week, one could do far worse than to be in St. Petersburg, the Tampa Bay area, the first week in March.
I agree.
In sunny Florida.
Now, a lot of people may not realize, Bob, last year the Saddam tapes were introduced by Bill Tierney, former FBI counterterrorism expert. He translated Saddam Hussein's tapes, and then we had Jack Shaw there talking about how the WMDs were moved to Syria and so on. And then Bob, the administration did nothing with that information.
Well, General, I let me evade that issue, if I may, in the sense of there are 40,000 boxes worth of untranslated tapes. Apparently, the DNI, you know, is a very busy man, clearly. But, you know, if I may say, I think having these tapes translated is an important thing to do because it sheds light on a whole range of factors, and it hasn't been done. I'm sure there are good reasons why it hasn't been done. But the fact
I can't think of any.
Well, the bottom line is it hasn't been done. I don't want to get into a mudslinging match, but it
you don't have to, Bob. I'll do that.
Yep. And part of the problem, General, is not having enough reliable Arabic and Farsi translators, which is another side goal, if you will, of the intelligence summit. The fact that these things are lagging is outrageous.
Why don't they go into the Muslim areas? Go to Dearborn, Michigan, and
well,
basically
you're not
hire
get
people
well,
out of there.
Notice I use the word, sirs, of reliable translators. That's not to cast a broad brush on all the people living in Dearbornistan. However, there are many ethnic groups that have been persecuted throughout the Middle East, not just your typical Sunni and Shiite Muslims, but other groups such as Coptic Christians, Sephardic Jews, Berbers and throughout North Africa that could be enlisted in an effort to get these tapes translated and to become assets for America.
I heard in Baghdad, Jerry and Bob, that the State Department, out of all the assets we have over, they only have six people that speak Arabic.
Gee, my Christmas.
General, I wish I could join you in laughing about that, but that is criminal.
Isn't that something? Unbelievable since 9/11. That's the whole story of where we're at. And our intelligence, even our human intelligence, which is getting better, and it's certainly better in the United States, But our intelligence on the Middle East, Bob, you don't know it, but we broke the news on the assassin group out of Lebanon, headed up by a gentleman named Assad Hardan, H-A-R-D-A-N, last week.
Okay.
And he is working with the Syrian general named Ghazali, G-H-A-Z-A-L-I. We provided that to Israel and to the U.S., and it's gone nowhere. And here we have Lebanon falling today, and we're not even, and even the, I'm saying the Israelis as well as the United States, we should be providing them close air support to wipe out Hezbollah, as well as unconventional warfare assets. But Lebanon's going to fall, appears that way, and Hezbollah will gain control. We have 1 minute till a commercial break, Bob.
Yes. Well, Hezbollah is certainly making inroads and deposing the government of Fuad Señora, and it's too damn bad. I don't know if you can say that on radio, but I'll say it anyways. It's really a shame that we haven't. Part of the problem is, of course, Assad, and we have treated Assad with kid gloves, and he continues to perpetrate his campaign.
Hold one, Bob. Hold your thought. We're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back with Dr. Robert Katz, and hopefully John Loftus from Florida will be joining us if we can reach him. This is Stand Up America. We'll be right back.
You've probably heard every debt reduction claim under the sun, from "we'll get rid of all your debt" to "use us because we can slash 99% of everything you owe." Come on, get real. I'm Rick, and through all the research I've done, the only ones I've found who really know what they're doing is Forecast Financial. I was in deep trouble with my creditors and needed help, so like I said, I did the research, and only Forecast Financial got it. They didn't make outrageous claims. They simply guaranteed they could eliminate 60% or more of my debt. And the guarantee's in writing. No one else I know of makes a written guarantee. Now here's the deal. They actually cut my debt by 75%. Forecast did way better than their guarantee.
And they can do it for you. Call them right now at 800-760-9317. That's 800-760-9317. And get 60% or more of your debt eliminated, guaranteed in writing. Call 800-760-9317 or visit donotgobankrupt.com.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? Maybe never, until now. If you owe the IRS or state at least $10,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 83% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans just like you have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. As a matter of fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. You wouldn't go to court without a lawyer. Now you have qualified help in dealing with the IRS. This is the second chance you've never had before to save up to 83% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 83% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. 800-951-2341. That's 800-951-2341. Call for your second chance. 800-951-2341. Do it right now.
Are you concerned about staying healthy during the winter months? Listen to medical doctor Gary Knighton.
Hi, this is Dr. Knighton. Many of my patients are concerned about the winter season, so I recommend strengthening and boosting their immune system with Synergy Defense. Synergy Defense is a Mediterranean blend of probiotics, antioxidants, and enzymes that is affordable and all natural. I tell my patients what I'm telling you. Eating right and getting rest is just not enough. So plan ahead. Boost your immune system with Synergy Defense. I am so impressed with this new product that I am now actively endorsing it.
Order Synergy Defense now and boost your immune system. Write this number down, 1-800-449-6615. When you call, ask how you can receive a free month's supply. 1-800-449-6615. Call 1-800-449-6615.
The statements made in this advertisement have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Broadcasting around the globe, this is Stand Up America, your host Paul Vallelee and my gracious co-host Jerry Mullen. We have on Dr. Robert Katz talking about the Intelligence Summit. But when we finished up, Bob, I think we're talking about what's happening in Lebanon now, and the Israelis did not finish the job, which they should have, in my opinion. They should have gone to Syria, put to fear Allah in the Syrians as well as the Iranians. But now Hezbollah seems to be more powerful than ever.
Yes, well, the Israelis' game plan was clearly out of whack. I mean, they have an Air Force general as chief of staff. When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. He thought that the job could get done strictly through the Air Force and with a minimum of casualties. That proved not to be the case. They should have landed in typical military fashion at the Litani River and then worked in force and then worked their way down.
Yep. Bob, you're a doctor. I'm a military guy, and we both figured that out.
Yeah, well, you know, when a common man like myself is able to figure that out, a government in charge of a sovereign nation is not doing so because of what fears of political correctness and whatnot, and worrying what the world will think. Well, what have we come to?
Well, didn't we have people within our own Congress basically chiding Israel?
Yeah, well, we always have people chiding Israel. I mean, Israel bashing is sort of a spectator sport that everybody can join in with, along with its close cousin, America bashing. You know, America being, of course, in many people's minds around the world, the great Satan, and Israel being the little Satan. No shortage of bashing. I'll grant you that.
But you know something, Bob? You know, this thing that seems to be the play of the day around here anymore about America being the evil empire. It didn't start.
Oh, you know, no, you know, when I hear America being the evil empire, I have to think, what parallel universe are we living in? America is, if I may quote Abraham Lincoln, the last great hope of Earth. Okay.
Oh, you're right. You're right. But you know what's interesting to me is in 1975, I was in France working on a film. And I was treated like a second-class citizen then. The French did not like Americans then. If you remember, there was a book, there was a movie, The Ugly American.
Yes.
I mean, this has been going on for a lot of years now. It just didn't start over this thing since 9/11.
Well, France has gone downhill since the Marquis de Lafayette.
That's correct.
You know, they should show a bit more respect, I would think, since we spent blood and treasure. And my uncle was there at Omaha Beach on D-Day, and my uncle as well. You know, we spent blood and treasure to liberate those people, and then they spit in our face. I don't know what to say to that.
No, I know. And it's a little frightening to me, too, when I think about the tremendous fields of crosses and markers over there that contain the bodies of young dead Americans. We'll never, ever realize the great America that we've known. And there's no homage paid to them by our current young people.
Jerry, I guarantee you we will bail out France for the third time in the last 100 years because they can't take care of themselves. Did you notice the breaking news protesting in Iran against Ahmadinejad?
Good.
They have a young Iranian woman who just came out with a new book. Her name is Ghazal Omid, G-H-A-Z-A-L.
Ghazal Omid is one of ours, is a summiteer, and she will be featured at the summit. Her book is Living in Hell.
Living in Hell, that's right. I would like to get her on the radio show, Bob. She is absolutely terrific.
Yes, that can be arranged, General.
You know, there's, I can't remember the number, Bob, but it's 25 or 30,000 Jews live in Tehran or in Iran.
Yes, approximately 25 to 30, yes.
The conference they're having over in Iran now is on the Holocaust.
Right.
And they're challenging, of course, that the Holocaust, in fact, existed today.
Well, you know what? Relatives from a side of my family used to have tattooed numbers on their wrists. So I guess they were making it all up and went to the local tattoo shop to get them, as well as, you know, all the vast reams of documentation saying that the Holocaust did indeed take place, and not only for 6 million Jews. You know, it's commonly just thought 6 million Jews, but it's unfortunate the other 5 million non-Jews that were slaughtered in those camps are you know,
well,
not
sure.
remembered quite as well either. I mean, and in the Second World War, after it was all said and done, because of this appeasement that we're going for a new round of appeasement, we had appeasement in 1938, now we're having appeasement in 2006, World War II claimed approximately, and the experts go back and forth, but approximately 60 million victims. That's the road we are headed down. Winston Churchill said appeasement is like, feeding the crocodiles, hoping that he'll eat you last.
That's correct.
Bob, here's an announcement. They have a picture with the Iranian foreign minister of Mottaki.
Yes.
Belongs to a fringe group of Jews united against Zionism, and they are attending the Holocaust conference in Tehran.
Well, I wouldn't put too much credence in that because, quite frankly, unless they show up, then there are threats of against and torture against their families and that sort of thing.
Where are they from? Where are Jews united against the Zionism? Are they from Israel or are they from within Iran?
Well, they have these little splinter groups that you know, put up a big name for themselves. They have this group of there's probably about 23 of them in the world, but they're called Netude Karta. Well, there's probably more than that. But Netude Karta, which is basically Jews against Zionism, which all Zionism is just a few little square miles of land for the Jews to go to and have their own homeland. That's all it's about. Because certainly the Jewish history...
They're against that.
They're against that because they say it's against God's will, and that's Netude Karta. They're basically they're wackos. You a few thousand of them, and you'll find them, in any given group, you'll always find a certain small percentage.
Sure, fringe groups. Bob, listen, we want to thank you for coming on today. We're coming into our last segment here, but sorry John Loftus could not join us today from Florida, but he was on a conference call. But, Bob, we're going to look forward to seeing you at the Intelligence Summit again. That's the intelligencesummit.org, March 2007. And what's that website again, Bob?
Yes, it is www.intelligencesummit.org. It's the conference is March 5th, 6th, and 7th. Incidentally, at that conference, we have a secular Islam summit of truly, and the operative word being truly, moderate Muslims who have been speaking out against terrorism and fanaticism joining us because we wish to prop up their voices in the vast Muslim world that has thus far not spoken out, all 1.3, if their inflated figures can be believed, 1.3 billion Muslims. Well, we have about the 29 that have been speaking out against terrorism and fanaticism.
Well, on the other side of that, in this country here, there are a lot of people that are saying that only 10% of the Muslims are radicals.
Well, 10%
that equates about 130 million.
Is a lot of radical Muslims.
It is.
Hey, Bridget Gabriel's on Fox right now, Bob. And,
and a fine lady.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back for our final segment. This is Stand Up America.
When you're mired in debt, it's hard to imagine what life could be like without it. A retirement plan, annual vacations, even the occasional pedicure don't exist. It's all about making those monthly payments. Credit counselors can change that. We're a nonprofit agency, and we work for you. We'll negotiate a repayment plan with your creditors so you can avoid bankruptcy. At the same time, we'll help you set up a budget and make better use of your available income. Debt's a drag, but there's a way out. It's time to put on the post-debt glasses and focus on your post-debt life. So call us, 1-877-301-2828. We're a member of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling and a system-wide Better Business Bureau member, USA. Consultations free. So call us at 1-877-301-2828. That's 1-877-301-2828.
If you have credit card debt, Please listen closely, because there are legal ways to reduce your monthly payments. If you have credit card debt of more than $2,500, call the 800 Credit Card Debt Consumer Hotline at the end of this announcement and be connected with specialists who understand that having credit card debt is not just a financial burden on families, but an emotional strain as well. Our representatives can help you reduce your credit card interest rates, eliminate harassing collection calls, and lower your monthly payments by up to 52%. This is not a loan program. There are no credit checks, and homeownership is not required. Get rid of your credit card debt by calling the hotline now at 1-800-585-5041 and get out of debt. Call in the next 10 minutes, and if you qualify, you could get your credit card debt instantly reduced. Call 1-800-585-5041. That's 1-800-585-5041. 1-800-585-5041.
If you're active military duty in the Guard or Reserves or a veteran, you must listen to this important message. But first, get a pen, because in a moment, you're going to want to write down a vital phone number. How does a no-cost college education sound to you?
Impossible?
Here's the truth. At Grantham University, you can get a no-cost, fully accredited college education. You see, Grantham serves those who serve our country, offering no-cost college degrees to the men and women in the military. It's true. If you already have college or military credit, you can transfer these to Grantham so you can finish what you started. Plus, with our online program, you can get your degree virtually anywhere. Do you have that pen? Because here's the number to call for your no-cost college degree from Grantham University. Call 866-373-3174. That's 866-373-3174. Call right now. Grantham's counselors are ready to help you get started on your no-cost college degree. Make the call. 866-373-3174. That's 866-373-3174.
This is our final segment of Stand Up America Today, brought to you by RightTalk.com. This is your host, Paul Vallely, my co-host, great friend, Jerry Mullen. We are standing up. We are speaking out. We are being heard, and that is important, because when you're heard, you're counted, and we are standing up for America. Jerry, could you mention some of our sponsors for today?
Yeah, today I'd like to just talk about some of our individuals, those people who are supportive enough of us to help us keep our voice on the air, to keep the truth out there, and the wolves at bay, as they say. And some of those wonderful people are Dana Lorette Smith and Pam and Dennis Dotson, Tom Morgan, Glenn Miller, Max Quarter, and Michael Turk. And on Thursday, we'll talk a little bit about some of our corporate sponsors. But to these people, we're very, very grateful to them for being a part of Stand Up America, and for allowing us to bring the word to each and every home around the world.
Thanks to each and every one of them. We will be back Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We have some terrific guests lined up. Jed Babin, who will come on and talk about the Iraq survey group study, the Iraq Surrender Group, some people call it. Also about the United Nations and where we're going, since John Bolton isn't there anymore. And we will also have on David Kane, American Conservative Union, and he'll talk a little bit about politics and what we can expect when that new Congress makeup comes in January of 2007. But, Jerry, we've got a problem. We seem to continue to decay politically, and that really worries me.
I'm kind of interested to see what Tom DeLay is going to do. Now, I understand, I just heard this morning that he's going to kind of bring back to us, those people on the right, an idea.
Well, I hope it's a new party or a new conservative movement, Jerry. I hope it's a new movement.
Yeah, no, so do I.
We move it. We can't depend on the Republicans. We can't depend on the Democrats anymore. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Stand Up America. Thank you for joining us today. And please spread the word about our show. And again, we will be back on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
This is Right Talk Radio.